Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show, presented by Sling. I am home. Ari is in the Lake Tahoe office for the week. Ari, we've got news. Like, I think this is going to be how it's going to go until those first games kick off a week from Saturday. But it's time for stuff to start happening in college football, where we're getting quarterback decisions, or at least pieces of quarterback decisions. We're getting, you know, position battles. If there were any going into camp, they're starting to resolve themselves. And we got a big piece of news out of Baton Rouge on Monday. Miles Brennan giving up football. He is not going to win the LSU starting job. It's going to be Jaden Daniels or Garrett Nussmeier. And we got a special guest, Ari. Brody Miller, our LSU beat writer, and his mustache are joining us.
What's going on, guys? How are you?
What's up, Brody? Look at this. Just appear from Baton Rouge as if by magic.
Yes. I'm actually in New Orleans, but that detail is not important. But very still, nice. Yes.
I wasn't speeding, officer.
I don't think it's cop vibes. I don't think so.
Huge cop vibes.
You know, people look at me and they think like, oh, is that Daniel Plainview from There Will Be Blood? I think that's the vibe I'm giving off. Really.
I was just like, please don't write me a ticket. I'm like, my insurance is already through the roof and I'm trying. It's like 5 years that it stays on your record, everyone. I don't know if you know that. And I had a pretty bad run a few years ago and I'm still paying for it. So Brody.
Run of what?
Run of bad speeding. I got a tickets. Bunch of speeding tickets.
Oh.
One time I was driving to Cleveland from Columbus and I got pulled over on the way up by a cop in a speeding zone. And on the way back 2 days later, the same cop pulled me over in the same zone.
Did he just laugh?
He's just like, you again? Yeah, just like, yeah, me again. So
here's my thing with speeding. It's like changing your drive by like 2 minutes, like overall. Like,
yeah,
it's not changing anything.
Bro, yeah, no, it's like we are a bad at math podcast. That requires us to do math. So
I don't want anybody to take this as like Ari thinks he's a badass because he drives his car fast.
No.
I think it's more so Ari's an idiot because he was driving 12 over instead of 7 over. Like, I got a lot of really bad tickets.
Fair. Yes.
I got hit in if you drive from Phoenix to Vegas as much as I have, they design it to mess with you, and I am just never paying attention, and I've been paying a lot of money for it. So anyway, that's
and then you win it all at Vegas, so it's all good.
Yeah, then I got it all back in Vegas. Yeah. The extra $200 a month I'm spending to insure my car. It's been great.
So Brody's mustache triggering Ari, but there is a lot of news to talk about because Miles Brennan walking away from football. You got a great story in The Athletic about Brennan himself and just kind of what his career has been like. Cause this is a strange deal. This was Joe Burrow's backup, Joe Burrow's heir apparent. He starts 2020. He's putting up huge numbers. He gets hurt and it just never works out again.
And what makes it even weirder is Miles Brennan was to add one more layer of sadness, for lack of a better word, to the story is Miles Brennan was the heir apparent. You know, LSU, as you all know, was never a school that got the big name quarterback. They mm-hmm. never did. And Les Miles and Ed Ogeron got him. And LSU was going to modernize. Mac Canada was coming in. Yikes. And it was going to be, you know, he was going to be the face
like
of all this.
Years ago.
I know, right? And to have, so then he's year two, Burrow comes in. That I wouldn't call it a bad break, but you know, you're waiting 2 years. Then a freak abdominal, he's playing, you said, playing pretty well, 370 yards a game. Wasn't the reason they were losing those games, at least. And he has an abdominal injury that is so, like, freakish that the doctors were like, we could name the surgery after you, and he misses that whole year. Then he's going into a quarterback competition his final year. And again, you cannot make this up. Breaks his arm in a flip-flop incident on a fishing trip. So it's like, God did not want him to be LSU's starting quarterback. I mean, that's horrible to say. But and then this year they talk him into coming back. It's like, you know, Brian Kelly's like, be my veteran quarterback. I think it was fair for all of us to assume this is his job, right? And then they bring in Jaden Daniels And Garrett Nussmeier impresses a lot of people. And suddenly he is third place in that quarterback competition. And I think he just reached a point. I don't think he was like pouting, you know. I think he was just kind of like, man, it's year six. Like, I think I'm just going to get on with my life, you know, do some more fishing and hunting.
Let's not forget what his last name is. And so you're in New Orleans right now. Those of you who've been to New Orleans and eaten steak, you know what that last name means.
Yep. Yes. The Brennan's Restaurant Empire. Obviously, so many bars, restaurants under that umbrella. I mean, that name is like royalty here. I mean, his grandfather, maybe great-grandfather, was the founder of the Crew of Bacchus, which is like one of the OG main Mardi Gras, like our carnival parades, you know? So that family is a lot here. And I think he didn't want to leave. I mean, you couldn't have blamed him for leaving in 18 when Burrow came, 19 when it was clear Burrow was the guy, 21 when it looked like he was going to be in that battle, and definitely not this year. He could have left every time. And I think part of it was a long-term girlfriend at LSU, but part of it was just like he loves LSU and he didn't want to leave. So it's kind of like the anti-transfer portal story, but I guess it's a bad example because it's kind of how it can go wrong. So it's
well, I think actually too, Brody, it's kind of interesting that you say that because everybody views college football's experience based on who puts up a bunch of numbers, who starts, who wins games, who gets drafted. But like, he had a hell of an experience, you know.
That is a good way of looking at it.
You know, it's like, I don't know, you know, if he was ever going to be good enough, maybe if he didn't get injured in all those weird ways that you just mentioned to be a first round draft pick or to play in the NFL for a few years. But, you know, Miles Brennan didn't waste his time there. I mean, he was on a national championship team. He played a lot of games and, you know, had a great experience. And I think that there should be a, you know, a story of just like, hey, you know what? This guy's got, I mean, he's got a better college experience than all the we do, probably. Maybe not Andy, because Andy was the king of Florida.
Yeah, that's good.
But, we have the same number of national championship rings, but yes. I think he was a lot more important to his team than I was.
No, I know, but it's just like, I feel like a lot of people are just like, well, it just wasn't going to work out for him. It's like, well, it worked out better for him than a lot of people, you know?
He's still got to be like a popular dude on campus. Everybody knew his name, met his future wife, still got to go fishing and hunting whenever he wanted. That is a refreshing outlook, actually. I love that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah.
But just, I'm usually not the role on this podcast. I'm usually the person that everyone's like, why does he have to say those negative things?
You are normally the absolutist. And today you are like, no, man.
Yeah, it's like there are a lot of people on Earth that I feel worse for than Miles Brennan.
Touche, my dude. Touche.
Yeah.
Well, and what a life when you think about it.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
a college experience. Ari's exactly right. And I'm kicking myself for going through this entire day without thinking about it that way. Like now I think I need to reframe my lens here. But you're
If we only think that way, we'll be really bad sports writers where our take on everything is just like, yeah, but it's fine, man. Like, everything's good.
And we're just terrible podcasters, that's for sure. I'm going to write a column. Nothing's wrong ever at all.
Yeah. Oh, Notre Dame was 3-9. I don't know, man, but he got paid a lot. Like,
yeah, and they also got to play in a historic stadium. And how about that NBC deal? There's worse things. Yeah, we'd be terrible. Yeah.
All right. So that means, though, that the quarterback competition is probably down to two people. Jaden Daniels, who transferred from Arizona State, and we're all like, what? Okay, he's transferring. We get that. But he's going to LSU. And Garrett Nussmeier, son of Cowboys quarterbacks coach Doug Nussmeier, former Michigan, Alabama, Florida offensive coordinator Doug Nussmeier. Brody, handicapped that for us now.
Yeah. It's tough because you try not to be too prisoner of the moment, right? I think what even kind of signaled that this Brennan thing could even happen was the fact that when Garrett Nussmeier kind of banged up his ankle, missed like two practices, he was fine. Jaden Daniels took all of the first team reps, every single one. And I think there's a lot of people that are kind of running with like, well, now it's Jaden Daniels. And it might be. I mean, there's a lot of Brian Kelly history that points to it might be. But I think Garrett Nussmeier is really in this. You talk to a lot of people in that building and they'll say, he has that it factor. He's a special talent. He does a lot of really great things. I mean, he was a great prospect. He's probably the best like natural thrower of any of those quarterbacks we've even mentioned. And he's not immobile. He can run around. But at the same time, Jaden Daniels has won. I think he's really progressed as a passer. I mean, I saw him in spring and you'd leave a practice being like, that guy is inaccurate. That is not going to work out. I don't think he's going to go out there and beat Joe Burrow in the pocket. But he looks more composed than he did in April. You see him make a read in a chaotic defense, and he'll make a quick decision in traffic and whatnot. And you can't just like yada yada his running ability. I mean, it is special. It is actually like an elite ability, and it does seem like that's been a clear thing. Brian Kelly would like more mobility in that quarterback position. I think they are going to get RPO heavy. I mean, this might be speculating too much, but also even the way they're constructing their O-line, it's kind of like a very Mahler heavy, big 320-pound dude, kind of, you know, one of those O-lines is like five guards, that kind of thing.
Like Notre Dame's offensive line.
Touche.
Well, I say that. I mean, they've had some prototype left tackles too. Ronnie Stanley certainly was one. But Zach Martin played left tackle and then became one of the best guards to ever play in the NFL.
That's a really good point. And they do have their like Will Campbell at left tackle, the five-star freshman. He's like a true left tackle. Everyone else, though, yeah, it's a great point. And it kind of makes you wonder, like, is that intentional? It might just be the best five, right? But is that intentional that they kind of want this kind of run heavy O line that's going to punch you in the mouth, set up RPOs, all those kind of things? A lot of stuff that they're doing kind of makes you think it's Jane Daniels. And I think Ty probably goes to Jane Daniels, hypothetically, if there were a Ty. He's the transfer. He has 3 years of starting experience. And then the most exhausting part of all of this is there are very few coaches I can think of that have more history of the opening day quarterback meaning less than Brian Kelly. I mean,
this is true.
He split halves on opening day. He's benched a guy 1 week in. There's so much. There's plenty of two quarterback systems. So there's like kind of a working theory in Baton Rouge at times that it's actually going to be Daniels early and then Nussmeier in a few weeks if it doesn't look great. You know, he's always pushed. This is Pete Sampson's term, our great Notre Dame reporter, basically saying like he will just do whatever he has to do to push buttons at all times to get the best performance. So I don't think this is going to be over on September 4th regardless, but you asked me to handicap it. It's like I think there's an argument that Garrett Nussmeier might be the best quarterback. Jaden Daniels might make the most sense, but I think it's still pretty contested.
Brody, where did Jaden Daniels go to high school? Do you know off the top of your head?
Man, I'm a bad
I'm not
reporter.
Trying to put you on the spot, on the spot, but I just want, because I know what it is.
He's a Southern California guy.
You knew where he was, but the high school names are hard to remember. I didn't mean to put you on the spot there, but it's...
Looks like it's Cajun High School, but it's...
Did he go to Cajun High School?
It's Cajun? It is Cajun?
No, I think it's Cajon. I don't know.
We're calling it Cajun.
But we're going to call it Cajun.
That's amazing.
But that's why I just thought maybe that was like a running joke down there. But I have a question, though. It's like, are these players, like that? What you just said, kind of like, you know, they can, you know, shuffle some guys in or do whatever down the line to get Nussmeier ready, but is there a style problem? Because we all saw the Pac-12 version of Jaden Daniels, and we've seen some transfers come in at the quarterback position at LSU and have pretty good careers afterward. But like, can you kind of quantify like how would that look? You know, I mean, if you were to do that, does Nussmeier got more athleticism than people give him credit for? I mean, if you get what I'm saying.
I do. I think I do. Yeah, I think they are both runners. I think they both are very mobile. Like Nussmeier, if anything, as a freshman, like his frustration from staff members was like he just wants to be Johnny Manziel every play. And I think he kind of had to rein in like, hey, man, sometimes hang in the pocket. Is he a literally design run plays for a guy like Jaden Daniels? No, I don't think so. But he is absolutely a run around, very nimble, quick guy. But no, that's a really interesting question. When I don't know if I have a great answer for, and it's probably something I'll ask Brian Kelly this week, honestly, is just kind of,
just
yeah, like
credit on that story. Okay.
I will. Yeah. Okay. You know, at least the bottom of the story. Yeah. Yeah. Like, cause if Jaden Daniels, you do kind of imagine not gimmicky. I don't want to say that, but a little more gadgety, like RPO heavy.
Well,
running around all the time,
like Desmond Ritter. Where Mike Denbrock was working with at Cincinnati. I mean, that they're not identical. Ritter was certainly a better quarterback in 2021 than Jaden Daniels was. It's fascinating to me because I had a reader send me down this Emory Jones rabbit hole with my mailbag the other day where he's like, you know, Will Levis's stats and Emory Jones stats are identical. Ari and I were doing something that we'll actually talk about a little later in the show, but I've wound up comparing Jaden Daniels' stats and Emory Jones' stats from last year. Also almost identical in terms of, you know, yards per attempt and efficiency. It's crazy. And they actually do, they're physically similar. Their throwing styles look similar. Their body types are similar. They're both pretty fast. So it's crazy to me to think that. So congratulations, LSU. You may have gotten Emory Jones. We'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Well, here's the thing, too. It's like back when I was a kid, I was a Browns fan.
Nice.
And I always liked really great upbringing for good football memories. But there was always this debate of, like, if Tim Couch would have gotten drafted by another team that wasn't a complete disaster, would he have been awesome in the NFL? Because he had all the tools, you know, to be great. It's like if you put him in the Patriots system, could he be like Tom Brady right now instead of just out of the league in 5 years? But, like, the thing that is most exciting to me is that, and this isn't disparaging. Well, it is disparaging ASU. They don't have a ton of talent on their team. And there were a lot of really exciting, unbelievable plays that guy made over the course of the past 2 years that made ASU fun to watch. And I am always intrigued by the idea of putting a player who was individually a great talent. What was he, a top 40 player out of high school?
Well, and he was better when he had better players around.
That's what I was going to say.
So, like, you put him on a team where you have a five-star.
Certainly helped.
Five-star right tackle or whatever, and, you know, running backs and receivers that are just freaky athletic that just literally not only don't exist at ASU, but really aren't that prevalent in the Pac-12 as a whole. Like, is this guy going to come out and have a Joe Burrow year? And I mean, not that drastic, but like a first year. Well, actually, Burrow's first year as LSU starting quarterback wasn't great, but Jaden Daniels,
wasn't terrible. Didn't they win like 10 or 11 games?
It's the biggest misnomer that Joe Burrow was like bad. He was just above average.
No, not bad, but I'm saying like he came out and was a good quarterback. He wasn't the second year.
Jaden Daniels is probably a decent like success level comp.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, nobody knew that Joe Burrow would be the greatest quarterback in college football history there, but like, could he just come out there and just be awesome?
No, I think this is really interesting because you could go down exhausting rabbit holes of debating Jaden Daniels' 3 years. Because, yeah, like Andy said, year one, he had a good O-line and a loaded receiver room. And he looked like a guy that people were like, he's a Heisman candidate in 2020. And then 2020 and 2021, a lot of 20s. O-line was really troubled, didn't really have guys to throw to. And it became this chicken or the egg thing of, okay, he's taking off running way too fast. Is that him, to your point, is that him making up for a disaster around him? Or can you spin it as he is only good when you give him a situation where he can thrive because all the pieces are in place? Kind of like the old, like, every, you know, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay's quarterbacks debate you get into. And I think you're right. What's going to be interesting, though, is, again, you know, at LSU, I don't think this O-line is going to be some dominant strength, especially in an SEC. I think it's going to be okay. I don't think it's going to be inherently great compared to, you know, in scale, his Arizona State O-lines. But he's going to have an unreal receiver room, which could make his life incredibly easy, where you have Kayshon Boutte, Malik Nabers, Jack Besh, Jerry Jenkins. I mean, just goes on and on at receiver. Yeah, that's going to make his life easier. And the thing that a bunch of LSU staffers kept pointing out when this happened, I think they might be making too much of this, but it's interesting. He basically only had a full-time quarterback coach 1 year, and that was 2019 when he was a freshman. The rest, it was like the OC doing everything, plus they had all those weird staff issues going on, and it was pandemic, and they're like, having Joe Sloan, a real QB coach, is going to get more out of him. I am not suggesting that like you should believe that theory, but to your point, I think there are a lot of things that could make you believe he will be better in a more talented system.
Well, and I'll back you up there. I did say 2019 he had some talent.
Yeah.
So his number one back was Eno Benjamin.
Yep.
His top two receivers were Brandon Ayuk, a first rounder, and Frank Darby. So very productive, not just good, but some special type players. Yeah. And that's what Boutte is. I mean, that's what he's got now. So we'll see. But I do want to ask Jason in the live chat on the YouTube stream asks if Nussmeier would consider transferring if Daniels is named the starter. Where he is now in year two.
Yeah.
So is that in play?
Totally, it should be considered in the era we're in play. But everyone I have talked to has basically insinuated, and even talking to people around Nussmeier's family, he gets it. Like, he understands this is only year two. It's not like he'd be leaving to go start somewhere right away right now just because of the context of the situation. So, like, why leave? Why not?
Yeah, you don't – like, not now, but maybe
after. Yeah, exactly. But then next year, it's kind of a no-brainer that – it's going to be Nussmeier versus Walker Howard, and you would assume Nussmeier has the leg up there. What I've gathered is I don't think he'd leave. I think he understands the context. Plus, to our point, I think both quarterbacks are going to play, but you'd be naive not to worry about that because that's just the era we're in.
Go ahead, Andy.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Well, your name's on the show. You always get the right away, but I appreciate you letting me go. I know that I just got done having like the nicest viewpoint of what happened with Brennan.
Get back, revert back to the mean, baby.
But like, I've been like kind of like stewing a little bit, and I'm just going to say it. Like, is it messed up that Brian Kelly worked so hard to get him to come back or to stay? Like, after all that, it's like, okay, he's going to transfer. Maybe he didn't want to go, but it's like, then he just like wants to leave and like go find a place to play. And they're like, oh, it's like the
Brian Kelly collected some pieces. Now he was collecting some pieces. Like, he wanted some options.
It's just like, was it messed up a little, or like,
it's like, I don't want to answer that. You know what I mean? Like, what? And I will also leave with that. I don't know every detail of that conversation.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, the fact that Brennan's decision right now is just to be like, I'm going to quit football. Like, you know, I'm just done. Makes you understand, like, maybe there was more context. Like, maybe they didn't want to go be Southern Miss's quarterback. I'd rather give one last shot at my alma mater that I love. Like, I don't want to put this on Brian Kelly because that would be really unfair, but there is a version of this totally that we can be like, that's kind of evil, but I don't know.
Back in my 20s, when I was in the height of the Ari Wasserman Tinder days, some girl like texted me like on a Tuesday, and she's like, hey, you want to go out? Like, and it was a girl I had already gone out with before and like was way out of my league. And I was like, hell yeah, I want to go out. She goes, how about Thursday? And then I was like, okay, let's go out on Thursday. And then Thursday came, and I said, where are we going tonight? She completely ghosted me. And then I saw on Instagram she was out with another dude on Thursday night. It's like, why did you text me?
Options.
Accident?
Options. Maybe I was just like an option. But like, it's like, why did you – I wasn't even the one that like –
So I wasn't the aggressor. This is the Brian Kelly of Tinder people, right?
I didn't know I was dating Brian Kelly.
She threw out three texts, probably got three yeses, and just decided which one she liked the best.
But
like, all right,
I will say,
you're taking me for martinis.
Is a visionary.
I did not quit the game though. I stayed into the game.
And you won. I don't know. Did you? I don't know.
I didn't find. Well, no, I actually.
I don't know where you're at.
I'm pretty sure Miles Brennan's better at that game than you too.
No, Miles Brennan absolutely is better than me at the. No. I'm saying. He probably had a better, you know, outlet for him because I stayed in the game. It ate me alive. And then I found my wife the natural way. Miles Brennan's like, he made the right decision for himself, and I envy him. If that came out as me, like, making fun of him, please.
No, it did not. I'm just saying,
like, he
I'm trying to find more ways to get Tinder stories out of you. That's all my
I've got a lot, right bud. Now. I've got a lot, but I don't want to, like, get them all out at
you
once.
You got to parcel them out slowly. All right, Brody, yes. I'm going to give you options here.
Okay.
You are welcome to hang. You have
Thanks, guys.
Enlightened us. We are going to be talking about your alma mater shortly. Just going to tease you with that there. So you're welcome to hang, but we got to take a break, pay some bills.
That? Do they do that?
They teach you it like at your orientation, but then I've never seen anyone actually
this
do
is,
it.
They're trying Andy, to do the IU thing because Brody went to Indiana.
I don't mean to blow up your spot here, Andy, but I want to ask him one more question before we give him the option of leaving. Because I don't want.
Please do.
I just feel like I'd be like overextending my welcome.
No, you're good. This is going to be a good one. Does Brian Kelly fit in down there? Like, what's it been like? I mean, I know everybody was making fun of the accent.
He's just one of the family.
Yeah, my family and all that
it's
stuff.
The number one question. Yeah,
I just like want to know like what's it like with Mr. Notre Dame walking around Louisiana as the head coach there.
I think the actual answer is it just doesn't really come up, like whether he fits in. Like, he's kind of a guy who does his own thing in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, like, it's going, I think you talk to any player, they'll tell you like he is just much more personable than like you're led to believe. I think he's more personable than I was led to believe. So yeah. I think he's getting along perfectly fine. I mean, like, do I think he's at Ogeron where it's like that guy is the king of Baton Rouge to some extent or South Louisiana as a whole? No, of course not. But like people like him. And I think there's just more of like a, especially talking to a lot of fans, it's this weird in-between level of like, they trust him, but they're not like giddy about Brian Kelly, you know, just and that's not like, I don't think anyone's like Brian Kelly's not a good coach. It's just this weird in-between zone of just like, I know he's going to do pretty well. I don't know if he's going to go win four titles. Yeah. Or anything like that. But yeah, I think he's fitting.
The man has made me cringe three times since he's gotten the job.
Yeah. Wait, the family, the dance,
the dance.
What's the third?
And that
there were two dances.
That bullshit that he did at the press conference where he goes, "Hey, it's good to see everybody," and then nobody responded. He goes, "It's good to see everybody." Like we were at like that. Like I was like, if I were in that room, I'd be like, "Oh God!" Like just like
you're one of those life coach seminars.
Yeah, it's like, what are we doing? It's like I didn't pay $10
Baymont Inn on a Sunday.
Figure out how to make $9 million a month on opening up my own Amazon store. I'm just here to ask some questions.
He's definitely been in trying a little bit of like a PR tour of like reminding everybody he is.
What did you do when he did that? Did you go, "Hey, Brian Kelly," or did you just stay quiet?
It's kind of like a chuckle, like, "Ha, you know."
Okay,
like,
good. Yeah, I was going to judge you if you were like, "Hey,
hey, coach." Hey. Yeah, no. No, I did not do that.
Jason with the ultimate here.
Ooh.
We haven't gotten a meow out of Brody yet. I didn't get a meow out of this guy. Meow. You know how fast you're going, meow? You've never seen Super Troopers, have you?
I have, but I don't remember that joke.
You don't remember the meow? Oh, good Lord.
It's been a few years. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't defend myself. I'm just like,
unbelievable. Ari has offended the LSU fan base, which I'm here for. Let's go.
Was I offensive?
Because you were mean to Brian Kelly.
I feel like people would be more upset if I were like, the guy can't win games or he sucks. I just like don't like the way he did a few things.
On the list of coaches who probably care that they're getting made fun of, I think Brian Kelly's pretty low.
Yeah.
He's got $100 million. I don't think he really cares.
I didn't even make fun of him. Least. I just, yeah. Sell me this pen. Like, I don't, you know, I'm not at a selling seminar, you know?
All right, Brody. It has been a blast. Thank you so much. All right. Now we have to give hope to the hopeless. You ready to do this?
Yes. You were really the king of giving me hope in my life. So if you could do that for me, then I don't want to be
like that one Tinder lady who threw out the Andy, "Hey, want to hang?"
Hey, and was apparently 2 days ago. You said
apparently
hey,
it wasn't a committable offer.
You said you texted me on Saturday. Hey, you free to podcast on Monday? And I said sure am. And what are we doing?
Here we are.
So, you didn't bail. You're not podcasting with Brody alone. That's
exactly right. So we have a column coming out, a combo column together on Tuesday at The Athletic, where we try to give some hope to the hopeless. Because I will say, it does feel like this year, there is more hope than ever. Across the fan bases of college football, there is more hope. There, because of the transfer portal, because rosters can be changed so quickly, there are a lot of teams and fan bases that are like, yeah, things are going to be better this year. Or things are going to keep going well if you're Georgia, if you're Alabama, if you're those Ohio State. But there are some programs that just have not been so fortunate in the offseason. And we've got to give some hope to those people. And that's what... So going back to last season, this offseason, we mentioned Arizona State. And I think I've already kind of worked on that. You lose Jaden Daniels. You lost a lot more than that. They had a mass exodus through the transfer portal, the NCAA issues, you name it. But the Emory Jones thing could be very helpful to them. This is a guy who's played some very good defenses, put up, again, like I said, similar numbers to what Jaden Daniels put up last year, but against much better defenses.
Yeah, and I'll tell you guys one thing. I mean, I saw Emory Jones throw because he was committed to Ohio State when I was on the Ohio State beat. And I stood, you know, 2 feet behind him when he was 17 years old while he was throwing passes. And that guy has a rocket arm. I mean, like he, you know, and I can only imagine how much better it is now a few years later, having played in the SEC and gone through those weight training programs. And, you know, if you have a quarterback that's got that arm and the athleticism that he has, you know, you have a shot. Now, you know, you lose Jaden Daniels, you replace him with Emory Jones. It's kind of like, I mean, I guess on the surface, it could seem like you're just kind of breaking even there a little bit, but you never know. I mean,
But breaking even is better than what they could have expected
a
few months ago before Jones decided to come, because they weren't going to break even. They had everybody going. It was all flowing out. And like Ricky Pearsall, the receiver, he winds up at Emory Jones's old school, Florida. But they had a massive outflow. They needed something coming in. They got it. Let's stay in the state of Arizona. Let's go to your alma mater.
Can we just say one more thing about Arizona State before we go to the...
Sure, go for it.
Which is probably true for both, but like the thing that is the most hopeful and maybe probably the most frustrating thing for Arizona State is that it's all right there. Like the blueprint and the thought process of how they could ever be good or how they could ever be a national championship contender. Like you can just like look at it and visualize it. Like if you are a fan of a certain school that's out in the middle of nowhere, you're not near players or it's hard to get people to, or you play in a bad conference. I mean, there are far more hopeless places than Arizona State. And one day they kind of figured it out there in the late 90s for a few years, but if they could just figure it out, I think that they could be one of the five sleeping giants in college football, podcast episode.
Exactly. Well, North Carolina is the original sleeping giant.
And
Texas A&M is the other one.
Yeah, I've got a few other ones that are actually sound ridiculous, but you could actually make cases for too. Like I think Rutgers could be a sleeping giant, or maybe people think that's impossible. But what about Maryland and all that Under Armour money?
Well, Rutgers and Maryland are both, and it's interesting. Rutgers is not in this column, and neither is Oregon State. And I think the omission of them is hope in and of itself.
Right,
like. Jonathan Smith has done such a great job at Oregon State. They're so competitive now compared to what they used to be. And then the improvement at Rutgers under Greg Schiano is very clear. He understands the blueprint of winning there. Get good players from Jersey to stay home. It works. So it's in the intro to the column. Like you're going to be surprised not to see Oregon State and Rutgers here, but I don't think they need this.
And the funniest thing about Oregon State is that I would probably put them in the category of absolutely hopeless 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Which goes to show you that nobody's actually hopeless. I mean, if exactly. Washington State can find a way into the playoff rankings in 4 or 5 weeks in a row during that time,
Washington State fired their coach in the middle of the season last year, not because of anything that was going on the field, and still won games. Because Jake Dicker did an incredible job as the interim. And,
I mean, I had no idea how close that Washington State was actually to Idaho.
8 miles. 8 miles. Like, I thought that Washington State,
you know how far away that is, like from any football talent? And the fact of the matter is that they might be one of the most exciting teams in college football to watch this year. It's like if they can do it, like Syracuse can do it, right? Oregon State can do it. Who's actually hopeless in this world?
Vanderbilt?
I don't know. They got a really smart recruiting coordinator who went to Yale.
Barton Simmons, absolutely. And he got a really smart head coach who went to Vanderbilt, Clark Lee.
Yeah, so I mean, like, I don't know. I don't think that they're hopeless, especially in when they start getting that SEC money raining on them when there's two super conferences.
Yeah, but all the other SEC teams are getting it too.
No, I know, but at least they're in the bus.
Would you rather
go on a field trip with everybody? Would you rather be on the bus? You might be sitting in the bad seat, the hottest part of the bus, but at least you're on the bus.
Well,
not getting dropped off by your mom.
I had a couple ideas for Vandy. We'll save the main idea if you want to read it in the column, but it involves Nashville's greatest culinary delicacy. But another idea I had for Vandy that may result in criminal charges if they try to do it, but I do think it might work, is basically you pay off multiple bachelorette parties to kidnap people from the visiting team and just like stuff them in a pedicab or stuff that, it's grab Lane Kiffin because Ole Miss does play there this year. And stuff him in the party wagon or whatever. They have the thing where the giant tractor pulls the party barge. Like,
yeah,
just tie Lane Kiffin to the bench in there, and don't let him get to the stadium.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good idea. I mean, I don't think it would be as hard for a bachelorette party to kidnap
to pull that off
college players than it would be for like just normal kidnappers.
And it's Nashville Friday night. There are so many bachelorette parties.
Yeah, and don't do anything like violent to them. Just take them out and have a good time.
Entertain them.
Yeah, but they'll be fine.
Yeah, and you have not lived. I remember I was my first time in Nashville after all of that stuff blew up when it became kind of the bachelorette party capital of America. my enduring memory of that is walking out of my hotel on a Saturday night and seeing three generations of ladies sitting on the same step, vomiting.
That's like three
bride, mother of the bride, grandmother bride, just letting it all out.
Yeah, I have had a lot of fun in my life. I've never gotten hammered with my grandparents. You know, it's a missed opportunity.
I feel like getting hammered with your dad would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, my dad isn't much of a drinker, but when he gets going, maybe he'd be a hell of a time.
He doesn't even need it. He's got that energy without it.
Yeah, I mean, I would expose text logs with my dad, but I wouldn't want to get fired. So, you know. No, he's a character and part of the reason why I am who I am. So, you know, shout out to my dad.
We'll be right back after these words. Okay, so you mentioned that nobody's truly hopeless. And I think Kansas is our best example of that. So, a little less than a year ago, you and I made a bet. Kansas was headed to Conway, South Carolina to play on the teal turf, and they were like 3 touchdown underdogs. And the bet was if Coastal Carolina covered, you had to eat the death chip. And Coastal Carolina did cover. I mean, like a Power 5 team should never be a 3 touchdown underdog against a group of five team, especially not like an American best team in the American kind of team. And that's what Kansas was. That is the situation that Lance Leipold inherited. And look, he didn't even have a full spring practice. The Les Miles, Jeff Long stuff didn't go down until later in the year. So he was behind the 8 ball. But they scared the hell out of Oklahoma. They beat Texas. You know, Jared Casey, the walk-on fullback, catching the 2-point conversion and then doing the Applebee's commercial where, by the way, some of the best acting of any NIL deal commercial we've seen. You always go for 2 and then the big wink. It was tremendous. And Kansas, like even the rules changes are going Kansas's way, because you think about what has been their biggest problem. They've been in this massive scholarship hole since Charlie Weiss was the coach and have not been able to get back to 85 scholarships. Well, now finally the rules have changed thanks to the transfer rules changing, thanks to NIL, all that stuff. You can flip your roster if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
You can bring in as many new football players per year as you want. Kansas can finally get a full roster.
I mean, do you know how important that is?
Huge. Just like,
I mean, I would venture to say that there isn't a single college football coach out there that wouldn't be upset if he had 4 less scholarship players on their roster than the team that they were playing. And you think, oh, well, 81, 85 is not that big of a deal. It's absolutely a huge deal. Also, you have 4 chances more of actually hitting big on somebody that might have been an under-the-radar person. You know,
that's exactly right.
You know, I mean, it's like it's a huge deal. So the thing that I'm upset about talking about Kansas is that I resent the fact that they didn't cover that game, because they looked awesome after the first quarter. It was 9-7. They're covering after the third quarter, and then Coastal Carolina punched in 2 touchdowns in the fourth.
I had faith that I was not going to have to eat that chip, and then you did eat the chip, and you touched your eye, and I nearly jumped out of my skin. I'm glad you didn't blind yourself. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I didn't even sign a waiver. You know, I'm sure the Athletic was pretty nervous, too, of like, nobody's ever gotten injured on the job before, you know, and then this guy's eating a tortilla chip that could have blinded him. I was the hottest thing I've ever eaten in my entire life.
You look like you were going to vomit right there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why anybody would ever do that, but I guess for the same reason that I did, being an idiot.
Well, listen, again, it is very difficult to wrap your brain around a Power 5 team. And I realize that we're using these terms, Power 5 and Group of 5, which are going to be absolutely meaningless in a few years. But a Power 5 team being a 3 touchdown underdog to a Group of 5 team, it is very difficult to wrap your brain around. So I understand where you're coming from, but it's going to be still tough at Kansas, but I don't know. They're going to win some games, and some of that is scheduled. They've scheduled some wins, but I also think there's a chance they may win something in the Big 12. So like they should beat Tennessee Tech. They might beat Duke this year. You tried to give some hope to Duke. I think Kansas has more hope than Duke this year.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing too, is that the level of like what hope means is different for every program too. It's like the bar for Kansas to achieve their hope is so much lower than Duke's, probably.
Yeah. Can you imagine if they beat Texas again?
I couldn't. No, I mean, it is insane.
Because I'm of the opinion that Sark can pretty much do anything this year beyond go like 2-10. And he still keeps his job because Arch is coming.
Yeah. The craziest thing about this whole thing, too, is that, like, everybody always makes fun of Texas, including me, for losing to Kansas, but they kicked the crap out of Oklahoma for a half of football.
They did.
Like, if you watch that game, like, they that wasn't, wow, this is, like, weird. Maybe Oklahoma was sleepwalking a little bit, but, I mean, there was, I mean, they kicked their ass for that half.
Right. And that is why I think there is hope at Kansas, and it is possible that not only are they going to get better as they go on, I think Lance Leipold is the right person for that job. He's got the right temperament. He understands how to build. He's been in division. Now, it's interesting because he was at Wisconsin Whitewater. So he was at an Alabama or Ohio State job in Division III. But he went to Buffalo. I think Buffalo is an easier build than Kansas. But I do think he has the right temperament for it and understands it's going to take some time. And he's saying all the right things. They're not in the moral victory business, all that. I appreciate it. So,
yeah.
Ari, we got a few more programs to give some hope to. One in the American that had some news happen on Monday. And also, we got three in the Big Ten that need some hope. I think one is a little easier to predict a bounce back than the others.
And don't forget about my alma mater, too.
It is time to give some hope to your alma mater. And I think I saw one of those BS, like the first coach to get fired odds. And Jed Fish was on it. And I was like, did you watch anything with Arizona last year? Did you pay any attention to their recruiting class? Like, Jed Fish ain't getting fired.
Yeah, I don't even know if those odds, like a lot of the times too, it's like, these aren't even bettable bets. Like, it's just out there to get retweeted. You can't go and bet that Jed Fish is going to get fired. And I would bet anything on the reverse of that.
Right. Is it like the stock market? Can I go long on Jed Fish? Because I'm very confident in going long on him right now.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even know if there's a scenario. Somebody said, I don't know if Sark is safe because Urban Meyer's working out there, but I feel like Jed Fish's job is probably even more secure than Sark's.
Like at the bar?
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing. He's out there lurking, like, you know, behind the tree looking around. So you've done the walk, right? You know what the walk is, right?
I have
right?
done from that What's Marriott on one side of campus to the football building.
Yes.
It's amazing.
And I feel like, I don't know if you could do it because there's like a game to be played, but if there was a way that you could like sponsor a team walk from there to the football stadium at Golden Hour with the recruits, I mean, it's unbelievable. And I feel like for the first time in my entire existence in the Arizona atmosphere, a coach actually talked about that walk and understood it. You know what I mean? And gets like, if Jed Fish could just sell Arizona as just a fun place to be, like, yeah. I think that would be, don't take it too seriously. Just, it's a blast and we can win a lot of football games. You can get drafted from here. If you're good and we can do something. I think that there is something to it. And the fact that he, you know, his first class at Arizona was a top 25 class. The first time that program has ever done that. The year after, they only signed one top 1,000 player in an entire class, which is bonkers. It is obscenely bad. I don't even know. I've been meaning for a long time to look that up of like how many times a Power 5 school has signed, and they almost signed zero top 1,000 players, but one of them got bumped up into the 800s ranking.
That's worse than Derek Dooley not signing an offensive lineman in his final class at Tennessee.
Yeah, I don't even know if that's how it's even possible. But they figured out a way to do it. But then to turn around in 1 year, bring in some exciting transfers, get a fringe five-star receiver out of California, and sign a top 25 class with a ton of talent in it. Like, Arizona is an awesome place to go. I don't know if their ceiling is quite as high as Arizona State's just because Tucson isn't Phoenix and Tempe. But, you know, and you're the expert of this, the amount of talent that's starting to come out of Arizona now because of the population boom is insane. Like, I think it might be one of the, you know, five most underrated talent states in the country.
Well,
it's
great for quarterbacks. It's not as it hasn't caught up as much in sheer numbers for other positions. The quarterback numbers are off the charts because there's some hyper competitive high school football coaches there that run really fun offenses, And you can obviously throw all the time down there. Yeah. So you can go there and find a quarterback. It has not necessarily been a place where you can one-stop shop for everything else, but it's getting there. And I mean, look, what's the biggest play of last season? Kelee Ringo's pick six in the national title game. Where's Kelee Ringo from?
Yep.
Scottsdale.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
He's not a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably 10, 15 years down the line before Arizona or Arizona State's getting that kid. Because like if you got Ohio State, Georgia, and Alabama, and,
Everybody on earth want to kill
you. It's like it's hard, but like I do think that proximity to California, the palm trees, the fun of it, you know, I do think that there are worse places to go. And if there are certain, you know, other schools, and I'm not going to disparage anybody, but there are probably a lot of other schools that finish way higher in the recruiting rankings that just aren't as good of a time. And you know, if there are other schools that are really, really good at football, I mean, I don't understand why Arizona couldn't be. So, you know, at the very least, I don't think they should be the laughing stock of the Pac-12. So if their hope meter is they could win six games this year, maybe that's possible.
So we got three teams in the Big Ten that need some hope. And two of them are in the West, and one's in the East. So I do realize we're kind of grading on a curve here. But I'm going to give you the three, and you tell me which you think should have the most hope this year. Northwestern, Nebraska, Indiana.
Nebraska.
Okay. Is it just the math?
And I'm
going to
really regret this. It's all math.
Okay. It's just that if they played last season over 1,000 times, it would not have turned out that way any of the other 999 times.
You know, I don't know. I mean, they lost all those games, and I think that it's not just like bad luck, but I do think that they have dudes on their team. And if they were able to look in the mirror and, you know, understand why they lost in such excruciating ways, kind of focus on those things and, you know, the turnovers, the stuff that put them in those
they
situations.
They had some terrible special teams gaffes. I mean, Michigan State was an example of that.
Yeah.
They didn't have a dedicated special teams coach. We had Mitch Sherman, our Nebraska beat writer, on a few months ago, and he was talking about that. They do have a special teams coach now. Like, so maybe they have tried. Maybe Scott Frost has tried to address the problems and has addressed them in a satisfactory way. I don't know.
It could be an 8-win team. It could be. It shouldn't be so ridiculous to think that they could win 8 games in the Big Ten West.
Eight games total, not eight and one.
Eight
in
games
Big Ten
total
play.
While yeah. playing in the Big Ten West, I think, is yes. a very reasonable thing to expect.
I think that's an absolutely reasonable thing. Now they play Oklahoma in the non-conference, so you're asking is probably 6 wins, but maybe they can beat Oklahoma. They played Oklahoma tough last year.
It was the best game they played last year.
Yeah.
And they get them at home.
So you're right. Northwestern's interesting to me because it's an even year. Like, yeah. We know Pat Fitzgerald can develop players. We've seen them, you know, we've seen Christian Darrisaw goes, you know, was he a first rounder or early second rounder, but you know, they produce really good players at Northwestern, but they have ebbs and flows. And so they had, I'm sorry, Darrisaw's the Virginia, Virginia Tech lineman. I'm
you're
blanking
talking about
on
Greg
the,
Newsom.
Yes, that's correct. But they go in the ebbs and flows, and it seems like they're on a track where the even years are the ones where they have a little bit better
because
talent.
It takes time to develop these guys, and that's the way that you know you kind of have to do it when you're at Northwestern. You don't ever create a situation where they're going to be winning the Big Ten West every year because their roster simply isn't built that way. But if they've done a great job of knowing who they are and excelling with what they are and developing talent into their system and into their scheme and playing hard and defense first and all the things that Pat Fitzgerald stands for, then the reason why it seems like it's every other year is because it probably takes an off year in between to get things ironed out for the next crop of guys that are going to be starting for you. So, you know, to me, it's just like Northwestern had a tough year last year and they needed a hope list. But like Northwestern's made the Big Ten championship game multiple times in the last few years. And he was talking about Lester Lee just said Rashawn Slater. I thought you were just
Rashawn Slater. Yes, thank you.
Yes, Greg Newsom's another top.
Yeah,
top end.
Rashawn Slater and Darrisaw were in the same draft class, and, yeah. and I was getting mixed up. But
they have guys, and they do a very good job of developing them. And I think that you could make the case that, you know, outside of Nick Saban, who doesn't belong in any comparison conversations, that like Did Pat Fitzgerald get the most out of his program in terms of like eclipsing this or like getting near the ceiling than any other coach in college football?
Yes, because it would be like Duke going to the ACC championship game multiple times. I mean, Cutcliffe took him there once in 2013, but they couldn't get him back there. It would be like Vandy going to the SEC championship game, and James Franklin did win 9 games there 2 years in a row, but they weren't going to win the division. And
it's between him and Matt Campbell.
Basically, yeah.
But even Matt Campbell's kind of showing you exactly what it is. It's hard to be good every year.
It is very hard.
At those places.
Yeah. So, yeah, I believe in Pat Fitzgerald. Like, I'm not giving up on him because they had a bad year last year. And that would scare the hell out of me if I was Scott Frost. Like, they're going to Dublin next week.
Yeah.
And Pat Fitzgerald's going to be sitting there coming off a bad year. And Pat Fitzgerald rarely has 2 bad years in a row.
It's like, which one's the highest hope meter? I mean, like, Northwestern is absolutely the more stable program. And I know they had a tough year last year, but they are the more stable program. Like, Northwestern, I feel like they'll be good again.
They are the one Big Ten team that Nebraska beat last year, and they beat them by a lot.
Yes.
But that game absolutely fascinates me because it's probably not going to be the prettiest game in the world. But we are going, if Northwestern wins that game, we are going to just be off the reservation.
You've seen in terms of Frost. National Lampoon's Vacation, obviously, right?
Absolutely.
You know when Clark drives the car off the road in the Grand Canyon area?
Yes.
And then takes it to that mechanic to get it fixed? And then they drive away after he gets like kind of taken for all he's got. And then the wheels are like, you know, remember the wheels are like kind of like lopsided. Oh, yeah. Yes. That's what I feel like it looks like when Nebraska's driving.
Yeah. And they have to, I mean, they have to come out of the chute. Because remember the buyout drops after the Indiana game, October 1st. So
we'll know by then, I think.
We will know. And
we said that last year, though.
That's true. We said we had him fired after the Illinois game. Like, we were like, this is done. There's no shot here.
Yeah. Yeah. But they did play hard in a lot of those games. And, you know, if you want to say bad break, math will even out. It'll equate. But, like, I don't know. I think we're at the point of the Scott Frost era where it doesn't matter what it looks like. If the wheels fall off of the Clark Griswold car.
It doesn't matter why either.
Why or how or whatever.
If it's bad luck, it doesn't matter. Because I think our friend Bill Connolly from ESPN put it very well, where if bad luck keeps happening to you, it might just be you. So,
that's right. When does it stop being a coincidence? Bobby Wasserman.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
We need to print those t-shirts.
I'm going to start. Yeah, I'll get a shirt that says, when does it stop being a coincidence? But there's some profanity in the middle of it, but yes.
If Northwestern wins, we're going to have to print those shirts.
I'll call him and I'll have him just do a reenactment of it.
Yes. Yeah, if Northwestern wins, we are printing. Yes, we will reenact it on the podcast and then print the shirts.
You have either dented, scratched, wrecked, damaged, or destroyed every single car that I've had. When does it stop being a bleep coincidence?
It's beautiful. You have lost in every way imaginable.
When does
you have
it
given
stop?
Up a punt return, you have fumbled in the end zone. You have fumbled at the 50 and let it be returned for a touchdown. When does it stop being a beep coincidence?
it's just pure grab ass. That's all that is. And they I think the entire offseason motto should be cut out the grab ass. Like, can you do that? And then
that's another t-shirt, Ari. You're just a machine.
Yeah. I mean, we got to get like ass on the back, you know, like right over here and then have all of our mottos.
Yes. Cut out the grab ass. I love it. All right. I mentioned Indiana. I do think they have a chance to be better this year as well. This is me putting a lot of eggs in the Connor Bazelak basket, and I realize he has not even won the job over Jack Tuttle. But I thought Connor Bazelak, as a freshman at Missouri, looked like he could be a pro prospect in the making. Yeah. Last year, he's fighting through injuries. He couldn't move. He wasn't the same guy. So if he is that guy, he's got Walt Bell calling the plays now. Now, Walt Bell got fired at UMass because you know why Walt Bell got fired at UMass? Because he took the head coaching job at UMass.
Yeah.
And you take that head coaching job to get fired eventually.
Yeah,
so,
it's a good financial play.
Yeah. Walt Bell is, you know, has accomplished some things as a play caller. The defensive play caller, I have even more faith in. Because it's Tom Allen. He's going to call the defense again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like crazy. College football is just like, oh, Adrian Martinez is the starting quarterback at Kansas State this year. It's like all these names and people that have accomplished at other places are suddenly at new places, and they have a lot of potential. Yeah. And if things don't go the right way, I do believe that, like, if you want to talk about like hope across the board, like teams that had no chance of getting a quarterback in the past can get a quarterback now.
Well, K-State not only has Adrian Martinez, they got the guy coming in the class of 2023 is a top 10.
Yeah, and they also signed Jake Rubley a few years ago too, who was a top 200 player, I think.
Well, and in Kansas, you can do NIL deals in high school, so it behooves those guys to stay local because you can make some dough. I would think
that's not just Kansas State though; it's everybody. It's like, oh, Arizona State's got Emory Jones, LSU's got Jaden Daniels. Like, the list goes on and on and on. You got Bazelak over here at Indiana. It's like which. And like, you know what? I know that
Avery Johnson, who has tremendous hair, by the way.
Oh, yeah. And he's not there yet, right? But he was awesome at the Elite 11. So, you know, they've got some dudes going there, too. So it's like this isn't a Kansas State discussion. It's just like a reminder that, like, you know, if you're in the Big Ten West outside of Wisconsin, I don't know that you're a team that, you know, who am I forgetting that can be good every single year in and year out. But like every single year is a new year, especially when you can flip your roster.
Well, the Big Ten West this year, especially. We don't know what Nebraska's going to be, but we think Minnesota's going to be pretty good. We think Purdue's going to be pretty decent. Now, they lost probably their two best players, but they bring back a very good quarterback. If Northwestern is better, Wisconsin and Iowa, we have faith in being good just about every year or above average.
Iowa's the one I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're right. There hope abounds there. But, Ari, something else happened on Monday that gave me hope for humanity. It's a photo I saw on Twitter. Here it is.
Oh, wow.
This is a photo of someone who got some hot, piping hot breadsticks from the Olive Garden, sliced a hole in the middle of one of them, and put a hot dog in it. This person is a genius.
And I also love that it's just one line of mustard there.
Well, I think you could do this, the Chicago dog dressing. You could put some gardeniera. Do you pronounce that gardeniera? The
pickled, I think that's vegetables. The way you would know.
Yeah, but this is brilliant. This looks so amazing. I don't know why I never thought of this.
You a ketchup on a hot dog guy? Because I am, and I get angry when people give me shit for it.
I'm not a only ketchup on a hot dog, but ketchup with mustard is fine with me.
I don't understand why people get so wound up about putting
just
ketchup
mustard
on
a chili dog, though.
You kind of tormented me a little bit with Landis by making fun of me for dipping my chicken fingers in Ann Arbor into ketchup. It's like, isn't that the number one dipping sauce? Like, what?
It is. It's not what I choose for chicken fingers, though. But it is what I choose for like Long John Silver's fried fish. So I'm just as guilty as you.
I think ketchup is the best condiment, but this would be, and I don't know when it happened, but hot dogs are now glizzies. Everybody calls them glizzies. That's a glizzy bun.
I'm not cool enough to know that.
Yeah, everybody calls them glizzies now, and that's an Olive Garden breadstick glizzy bun is what you're looking at right there.
We got to try this. So when we do our little tour, maybe we just do this. Maybe we buy a pack of hot dogs. Maybe we get some roller grill hot dogs.
Yeah, you're going to have to leave your Lose It app off your phone for that week.
From the gas.
Yeah.
You know what? Hot dogs aren't that bad. Roller grill hot dogs have been entered into the Lose It app a solid dozen times.
Interesting.
As this body transformation has happened.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't take you for a roller food guy. I like the roller food egg rolls.
See that? You can't. Okay. That's not what you're putting in Lose It.
I know, but
it won't pull you up.
Yeah, I know. I just in the roller grill taquitos that are stuffed with cheese and mozzarella. Cheese.
So what we do is we find an Olive Garden that's near like a Wawa or a Bucky's or something like that. And we get a giant bag of breadsticks. And there's a foil lined bag. So this is made to travel. And then we just hit the roller grill and load up on Frank's.
Yes. And just
and
eat
we
them.
Go to yeah. town.
Yeah. I mean, when you're there, you're family. So, I mean, I'm excited to experience that with you. And, you know, for sure, like when you're creative and, you know, you could be. I wonder how many calories are in an Olive Garden breadstick.
Well, let's find out.
Let's find out. Olive.
This is great pod right here. How many? Like,
they're two all guys waiting Googling on the edge stuff. Of their seats, too.
Actually, Ari, tell me what else is in your Google history while I look this up.
Oh, okay. Let me see if I can do this. Oh, there's a bunch of stuff from the podcast, unfortunately, this time.
Darn it.
I'm going to have to take a screenshot before, because I Google stuff during the podcast. Miles Brennan, Jaden Daniels,
none of this
Will Campbell.
Counts.
Yeah, that doesn't count. I got to...
140 calories.
Yeah.
If you get it without the butter garlic topping, it's 120.
So you can have... Why don't you buy a car without tires on it? Like, what are you talking about? Why would they even have that as an option? If you are a person that's been to Olive Garden and doesn't get the topping on it, then just like,
I didn't
what are
know
you
it
doing?
Was possible to get it without it. So I
that's
am
only
not.
If you get the best part on it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not omitting that.
Yeah. So you get a 150 calorie glizzy. You get one spick. You get three or four, depending on where you're at, four glizzies for 1,000 calories.
I mean, that sounds like a pretty good meal right there. If you've
yeah,
had a
yeah.
good workout,
yeah,
you're
you get
all
a
right.
good workout in, have a salad for lunch, and then toss a few glizzies down the gullet on the way home.
It makes me uncomfortable hearing you call them glizzies.
Google it. It's a thing.
I'm aware it's a thing, but why is it a thing? And you don't have to follow it just because it's a thing.
Oh, I love the word. There's something called the Glizzy Garden. Just look it up. It's just a bunch
it is
of hot dogs
slang
in the field.
It was originally a slang term for gun in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area.
Yeah.
Huh. The length of a hot dog is similar to the extended clip of a gun. And that is why they call it a glizzy. That is going way too far with your analogy.
I didn't know that. I taught you what glizzy meant. You explained to me why they call it glizzy. And I don't know if
that's working way too hard to get there. Way
that's
too
funny.
Hard.
That's a funny right. reason. Okay.
Ari, we're going to try this when next we are together. It's going to happen. I will not call it a glizzy. We'll come up with a name for it, like stick dogs or something, but we're not calling it glizzy.
It's the Olive Glizzy. That's what I'm calling it.
I'm going to leave this to the listeners to come up with a better name. That's your challenge. Figure out a better name for this. It can't be that. It just can't be a glizzy. I can't hear Ari use that word over and over again. It's just wrong. Ari, it's been a pleasure. We're going to have some stick dogs, some Olive Gardeneras. I don't know. Something. We'll come up with something. We'll talk to you later.